opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Microphone sounds different. I'm not sure why.
Whatever.
Anyway, today is Sunday, March 22nd, 2020, and I'm here in the studio in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
And our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all
that. Mine sounds like
great
crap.
Gal, Sue.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Sue.
What was that?
What?
My microphone sounds like crap. It's all garbly on my end.
Your mic is?
Yeah, when I in my headphones.
Should have heard the moment.
Check it. Yeah,
where's the bell?
No.
Might be your headphones.
Yeah.
So you might want to check the volume on her headphones.
I can't hear nothing.
Your,
my head is
your
like
voice is beautiful on my side.
Oh, now I had no voice. What are you doing? Terry's got at the helm. Now he's messing with it.
Stop the brother.
That's better.
All right, we also have Terry Raposa in our studio as well, and Wynn Carpenter, who are holding over from the Jefferson State of Mind program. And, I guess we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff today. I wanted to interject a little bit on that red flex, just because, okay? I was listening on the way in. And the one thing I have to say is we did an investigation. I got the contract with the city of Red Flex. I did this years ago.
Oh, on the red, on the red.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Okay. On the cameras.
And, you know, what I found was very telling that you buy, and I've got a copy. I'm looking right at it. The person that signed this contract back in 2012 was Rick Bassetti signing for Dick Dickerson. And Karen Finley, who was at that time the CEO of Red Flex. Now, the interesting story about Karen Finley is that if you Google Karen Finley and Red Flex convicted, she was actually convicted of bribing public officials in order to get the cameras into into place on several.
She was actually convicted?
Convicted, yes.
Paid isn't so.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we talked about this like 5 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it was. Oh. And, you know, now I'm not casting aspersions on anybody.
You're just telling the truth.
But what I'm saying is that that contract was signed in 2012. Mm-hmm. And she was convicted in 2015 or 16, I think it is.
Wow.
And, you know, which is kind of after the fact of a contract that was already signed. And in light of all of the corruption and all the stuff that's been going on, we can't get an audit of the money and nobody knows where the money goes. And the fact that she was convicted for bribing officials to get the camera systems put into place. Does that kind of sound like maybe the...
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Who are the officials that she bribed? Did they get...
I don't know.
Too?
No. I don't know.
They got to have a list.
They must have a list somewhere.
I think it was in Chicago. I was just retouching on this, but I'm looking at Justice, www at the Justice Department, and there's actually, it says ex-officials convicted of 20 counts in the red light. So if there was ex-officials that were convicted, this is United States Attorney's Office from the Northern District of Illinois. Gee, it was Chicago, my kind of town, you know. So this Karen Finley, I'm looking right at it, immediate release, this was dated November 10th, 2016, former chief executive of Chicago's first red light camera vendor was sentenced to 30 months in federal prison and over $2 million in restitution for paying bribes to city officials to help procure the contracts. Now, you know, my dad used to tell me when there's smoke, there's usually fire.
Yep.
Now, I'm not saying there's fire here, but there's just some smoke.
You think?
And I'd like to have an investigation in on where the money's going and an audit of that stuff. And, you know, just the fact that the person who signed our contract, I've got a copy of it sitting right here in front of me. I'm looking right at it. Redflex CEO Karen Findlay, 5/31/12, signed the contract, and there was Pamela Mize with city clerk, and Barry DeWalt, assistant city attorney.
Oh, he's Barry DeWalt, attorney, I believe.
You mean like a forensic audit?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Hello? There's nothing going on. They won't find anything that's worth doing anything about.
I just thought I'd bring it up, seeing how you guys did.
Yep.
No, it's good stuff.
It's good.
And, good stuff, brother. Good
you know,
stuff.
I'm thinking that these guys wouldn't ever bribe our public officials, would they?
And they wouldn't take the money?
And they would.
No.
Of course, they turned the money down. Or, I'm sorry, there was no money.
There was no money.
And there's still no money, and nobody still knows where the money went. And so,
just pay your 1 cent and spread
off. With that said, I want to bring up about your truth and my truth.
Uh-oh.
Okay? Now, I heard this the other day, and I think this says it pretty well. Okay, you have your truth, and I have my truth, right? No. What it is there is the truth,
yes,
and then you have your opinion
of
what the truth is.
Yes.
And I think I'd like to know what the truth is in this particular instance and not have opinions on it. Just saying.
Yeah.
Well, good luck.
Well, I mean, that's why it's so important to get to the bottom of this crap.
Yes.
And the money. Because, gee, when you've got people coming in, and I'm sure you got to ask yourself a question, too. Why would they be bribing public officials to get that camera system in? Because they just wanted to?
Didn't.
Or do they have maybe something that they were going to gain from doing that?
Wasn't Robert Smith trying to track down the money before?
A few years back?
And
he
ran into some roadblocks, though.
Actually, I have this all documented in my little file here. Red Smith was in helping Melody Fowler, and we were doing Freedom of Information Acts. And guess what? Nobody knew where the money was going.
That's what I'm saying. There was roadblocks that were involved with that.
They weren't getting, as far as I can remember, I recall that Red was having a hard time even getting the information.
Right.
Yeah,
they weren't making it easy to pull any information, and it was still hard to track where the money was going or the whole piece of that.
I just don't know why. And nobody knows where the money is. It doesn't go to the courts. It doesn't go to this. It doesn't go to that. It's not in the city coffers. Gee, and
whose pocket does it go to?
I wonder where it goes.
Is there a mitigation bank for the city?
I don't know.
Hello.
All I'm saying is it'd be nice to know where the money was going, and why would she be convicted of bribing public officials to get a system like that in so that because she's just a good citizen?
Yeah, wrong. That's out of Chicago?
Actually, they're in Australia now. They're Chicago. My kind of town, Chicago.
I'm just saying.
Hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, home of Al Capone.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, Richard.
Yeah, we'll leave that alone.
Richard, we'll get to you, but I guess we're going to have to go to a break here pretty quick.
All right, let's go to break and then get Richard on. I just kind of had to do that.
No, that's
all
great
right,
stuff.
If you want to call good in, stuff. The number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Getting weary. How far is heaven? And can you tell me?
So what's Scorecard Scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribbling's with Brent Weber, Wednesday night from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading. Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. Problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pull was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment. Despite being told by another shop, the vehicle had major frame problems. Having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who is repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with her car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
I need a sign to let me know you're here. All of these lines are being crossed over the atmosphere.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media Community Radio for the North State. You're listening to 1460 and 96.5 FM. Yeah, just a little more on that, and then we'll get to our caller, Richard. I just got to read this from the Chicago Tribune, and this is dated August 29th, 2016. Our contract, by the way, was signed in 2012. And John's Bills, the insider convicted of one of the most brazen City Hall corruption cases in Chicago's storied history of graft. That sentence right there is really saying something, because we're talking about the home of the Untouchables and Al Capone. And, it's like, come on. So he was sentenced to 10 years in federal prison by a judge who decried the damage done. Bill's voice broke with emotion as he acknowledged ethical and moral mistakes, but denied masterminding the massive bribery scheme in exchange for the city's growing controversial net worth of red light cameras in the nation's in the nation. The 10-year prison marked one of the stiffest sentences ever handed down in Chicago's federal court. Now, this is a quote. Every bribe that is taken, every kickback that is tendered or received, every amount of cash that is pocketed further erodes the rule of law. U.S. District Court Judge Virginia Kendall said in imposing the sentence. It erodes the faith in our government that takes years to rebuild. Wow. I mean, maybe there's an honest judge in Illinois. but, you know, with all this bribery and corruption and everything, isn't it funny that in the last few years that we've had quite a few city officials sort of just leave?
They retire and move out of state?
Out of state, yeah.
Huh.
And I know Richard's got some really incredible stuff when it comes to this type of thing, but it's, you know, I think that... I think the red light thing is just a microcosm of everything else.
I agree. And yep. But like I said, I just wanted to bring it up to get it out on the table because we talked about this years ago, and that was before everything was blowing up. And now that things are blowing up, everybody's starting to go, hey, what's going on, man? Where's the money and where's all this and all that? Anyway, Richard, you're on the air. Uh-huh. How you doing this morning?
Hi, I'm on earpiece. How's the volume?
Better.
Better. Yeah.
Well, I can go off earpiece if you need me to. Yeah,
sounds good.
No,
go ahead.
Fine.
Okay, so I have several things to discuss relating to this current pandemic, shelter in place. It's going to take a few minutes, but this stuff is critical, absolutely critical. this past Friday, there was a Record Search Site article published, and it basically quoted our local law enforcement chiefs and sheriffs, and they all collaborated to get on the same page as far as how they're going to react to these shelter-in-place orders. And they basically said, oh, it's a misdemeanor, but we don't plan on enforcing it. Well, okay. Why did they not say, instead of that, why did they not say, you guys at the state level, you have no authority to suspend our First Amendment rights of association? I know Mark mentioned that. And that has to do with our freedom of travel, so we can go and associate and assemble. But they didn't say that. They just said, oh, we don't plan on enforcing it. I think that is such a weak, weak answer publicly. And related to that, Mr. Bisenko, he decided, Iola Tom, he's on Facebook. It was retweeted by a local radio station. He's on Facebook saying, criticizing, I think it's L.A. County Sheriff, for minimizing people's rights down there. So, interesting that Bisenko, now that he's retired, decides to criticize, you know, his fellow liberals. But you know what? So that just shows how much of a coward he is, because he wouldn't criticize him while he was getting his paycheck. So now that's just opinion stuff there, but I have some facts. So you guys have anything to say on that so far?
Yeah, I think that I agree with everything you said so far. I think that I noticed that on Facebook, too. I was surprised on his position. All of a sudden, he's just... Boy, he's just, he's really out there for liberty now, isn't he?
Yeah, funny, huh?
Yeah.
Now, has anybody seen the actual executive order from Newsom?
Yep.
Okay, so you saw there was quite a few health and safety codes referenced in there.
Yes.
Now, did any of you in that office, in your studio, read those codes?
I haven't seen them yet.
Nope.
I think I glanced at a couple of them, but I did get the executive order. I did print it up. I forgot to bring it with me, but I did print it out and I read it. But the way I understood it, Mark, did you listen to Mark Muser's explanation of that?
You know, I did not read watch his video.
Okay.
But I did comment on his I didn't watch it, but I commented this on his video. I read the story. I read the text story, which summarized his video.
Mm-hmm.
So based on that reading, I commented and said, well, this Mark Muser guy, he's really great at citing California law and man-made law, but I don't remember him mentioning the U.S. Constitution or the Bill of Rights. Did he?
It was a pregnant
pause. I just don't remember. I'm trying to think back. I don't remember if he did or not, but I know that, but you're right. I mean, the thing is that, you know, you go back to the Constitution, as you said, you know, and we know that California has to adhere to that because in Article 3, Section 1 in the California Constitution, it specifically states that the state of California recognizes the Constitution of the United States of America to be the supreme law of the land and is an inseparable part of that, which means that the United States Constitution trumps, no pun intended, anything that the state constitution would ever have. And so, you know, there, you're right. I mean, you're right about the constitutionality of everything, but what about the constitutionality of these gun shops and stuff? And I don't want to interrupt you. I want you to keep going. This is really good stuff. So go ahead, sir.
Okay. So the health and safety codes that are mentioned on the executive order, you guys are going to be blown away when I tell you this because, and I've got them right in front of me. I've got the laws right in front of me right off the state website. And so most of those codes, they lay the foundation for the local, the State Department of Health to get in and establish regulations, orders, all kinds of stuff. So half of those codes are administrative, but two or three of those, they're jaw-dropping. So here we go. So I'm going to save the best one for last. So Health and Safety 120-150, okay, the department, which means the State Department of Health, may destroy objects as bedding, carpets, household goods, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, when in its judgment normal disinfecting doesn't work. So now that's just the beginning. So the next one. Okay, so 12-120-140. Okay, the health officer, a health officer, so that's any county health officer, any state health officer, in order to prevent the disease and preventing its spread, they may, if considered proper, take possession or control of the body of any living person, comma, or the corpse of any deceased. What do you guys say about that?
Well, you know, the thing is that you've got a code there, again, that violates constitutional rights. But it all goes back to, Richard, the fact that Kevin DeLeon, had told the legislative body, once we got this super majority, that they could pass any law they wanted, do anything they wanted, do any code they wanted, do anything they want, because the people of California would have to take them to court. I mean, you know, this stuff is scary. This stuff is crazy. But the real deal is, like Mark Baird had said, and he's right, you know, we have got to quit being sissies. We have to completely stand up against this stuff. It's total tyranny. There's no question about it. It's tyranny. It's violation of the Constitution. I know my friend Mark Kent here is on his computer, and he's got that look in his eye to where he's thinking, you know, this stuff has just gone way too far. Anyway.
Absolutely. I have one more.
Okay.
So Health and Safety Code 120-145, the department, which means the State Department of Health, may quarantine, isolate, inspect, disinfect persons, animals, houses, rooms, other property, whenever in its judgment action is necessary to protect public health. So when a health officer, local or state, decides that something's wrong with a disease or a pandemic or an infection, they're going to show up to your door, your place of business, with some local police officers, because remember the Reading.com story said, well, we're not going to enforce things right now, but the law is there for them to just make a quick mindset change to say, well, now we have to enforce it because the local health officer says so. And they're going to show up at one of your doors with armed police and say, we're going to take you away. We're going to seize your house now because it's infected. And if we can't disinfect it, we're going to destroy your house. What do you say about that?
Well, this reminds me of when Tom Bosanko was down at the meeting there in Cottonwood on the open carry stuff. And basically what he said was he won't enforce the law. And the challenge was, well, the fact that it's that the state made a law that you can be arrested for open carrying, is that it's up to the discretion of one person to decide that. And what happens when he decides that he's going to enforce the law? Then he does whatever he wants to anybody he wants without restriction. And it's kind of like the same thing here. The real deal is you can't put that much power in the hands of any one person. That's why it's we the people. And, you know, they have enumerated powers that are not supposed to override everybody else's freedom and so forth. But that's what they're doing. And I believe it's a power grab because I think this whole thing is a trumped up deal, pardon the pun,
absolutely,
that because the real crisis is banking, and the banking crisis has been coming on since September of last year, and they've been trying to cover that up with the overnight bailouts and the repo, and we're up to $5 trillion in bailouts by April 30th. That's the real problem, and this is just the pinprick that popped the bubble, and now what's going to happen is they're putting everything in place so that, that when this thing gets really ugly and they have bank closures and bank holidays and shutdowns and you can't get to your money and you're sheltering in place, then the government is going to be running the show and calling the shots. And if people aren't, if people are willing to put up with that, that's exactly what's going to happen, and that's what we're going to get.
Yeah, and I have a couple more topics, but I think I can finish in 3 or 4 minutes.
Well,
so just let me know if we.
She's been waving at us to take a break. Can you hang? Okay. Can you hang on?
Yes.
All right, we'll go to a break, and when we come back, we'll pick this up on the other side. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Love is but a song we sing. Fears we wear down. You can make mountains ring or make the angels cry. Though the bird is on the wing and you may not know. Try to love one another right now.
Auburn Mind Radio. I'm on the Free Fire Media Community Radio. Community Radio for the North State. You're listening to KCNR 1460. Where were we now? Well, you brought up a good point about the sheriff being the most powerful.
During the break, of everybody, of law enforcement, the sheriff is supposed to be the ultimate power of our county across all the states. Why would the sheriff allow the health department go door to door? Or where does he stand? I mean, that's my question. Is this gentleman's asking what we're going to do about it? Our sheriff should be saying, hey, I'm not going to allow this to happen just because the health department wants to come in, just like our Second Amendment. You know, it's still our liberty, our freedom.
Well, see, one of the things, the recourse we have is the sheriff's an elected official, but we talked about this in our program previously, and that is that the people who run for sheriff, you can't just have somebody like Mark Kent or Mark Baird or Woody Clendenin run for sheriff because you have to have certain degrees, and you also have to have at least 4 to 9 years of full employment as a law enforcement officer. So if you don't have that, you can't run.
And right.
That's number one, okay? Number two, if you're now, because of the 2018 law that was passed in California, okay, what happens is that if you're the sheriff and you retire early, like Pacinco did, you retire early, you're going to suggest to the Board of Supervisors, who now, because of this law, have the authority
to
select the next sheriff until the next election, you see.
Yeah.
Now, what are the chances of a sheriff who, like in this case, we're going to have Magrini for a couple of years anyway. You got Magrini. He's an incumbent. Things seem to be okay. You have the uninformed voter. He automatically gets back in until he plays the game, and then he picks his successor. So I would submit to you that I think it's all one big scheme.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
But
if people don't understand who has the power or where to go to help them with their power.
Well, yeah, right, and you're right about that. But
well, didn't we also have a gentleman run for president who didn't have any political experience and only ran businesses, and now look where we are.
Well, yeah. And
so right there, that is my argument for hiring people outside of the system to help run the system.
Well, that's true, but when you look at law, that's a California law. It's a California law that you have to meet this criteria to run for sheriff. That's
the issue is. I think when we drill down on the real issue, the real issue is freedom and ignorance don't coexist, period. And that's the problem, is that the schools have been dumbed down for quite a while. You know, we talk about the separation of church and state. Well, that was a letter. It's not in the Constitution. That was a letter from Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist Church, Samuel Kirchhoff. And what he talked about was to keep the government out of the churches. Now, if you think back in the historical context, the churches were the schools. So,
right.
So why did they want the government not in the schools or, you know, having anything to do not with just religion, but with what they were teaching the kids?
Indoctrination.
And now we've got government schools, which is, by the way, part of the 10 platforms of the Communist Manifesto,
right.
Government education.
Absolutely, yep. Right.
So now you've got a populace out there who doesn't know their butt from a hole in the ground on their
right.
freedom, their rights, or anything.
Right.
That's a real problem here that we need to drill down to is people need to understand what their rights are, because back in the colonies when they revolted, the English would get all upset the fact that every one of these damn colonists is an attorney. They all know their rights.
Well, the thing is,
they have guns, and that's what we need to get back to, and is educating the population so they understand the difference between, you know, their rights, responsibilities, and getting free cheese from the government to bribe them into slavery. Yeah, go ahead, Wynn.
Well, they don't know the rules of the game,
right.
And the rule book is the Constitution. And if you don't know the rules of the game, how are you going to be able to play? How do you do anything other than sit
right.
on the bench? And at this point, most everybody is sitting on the bench. They don't know the rules. They don't know how to get out there and to play effectively, play defense, play offense.
They don't question it
because they don't know
how.
And I'm not saying people are stupid. I'm not saying that at all. Please don't take it this way.
They're ignorant.
They're ignorant.
Yes.
They're ignorant means that you do not know. So you don't know the rules, so how can you play the game?
Well, a lot of these that are dumbed down because of the lack of education in the schools, I mean, we got taught the Constitution, and they were chipping away at it when I was in seventh grade, even back then.
Yeah.
So, but now with the population that comes up to the school thinks the government has the responsibility to take care of them. So anything that the government hands out to them, whether it's free cheese mm-hmm. or welfare checks or EBT cards, is the responsibility of the government. And what they fail to realize is in that lack of responsibility and being able to take care of yourself, self-reliance, they become dependent mm-hmm. on the state,
yep.
and they become dependent on the state to tell them not only what their rights are, but for their livelihoods, and pretty soon what that morphs into is state control,
right.
and state over everything, and that's what we have to combat at the local level, and that's why we need to be able to have people that are informed as citizens to elect people who believe in following the original contract.
Right.
That's
well,
right.
James Madison said, the greatest power on earth is to control government. That's why it's in the hands of the people. So why would the government teach our schools how to control it?
It wouldn't.
It wouldn't. And that's exactly what Mark just said. And
the elites.
The elites do it. And that's the deal.
Well, that's one of the reasons that they also have to discredit the founders. They're slave
right.
owners.
Oh, yeah, yeah. 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 Of course.
So you don't read their thoughts. You don't read their intent. You don't read that these people came out of a slave system. You don't read that they came out of overbearing government, King George and the European system where the government controlled everyone and everything. They came out of there and tried to create a system that was going to keep everybody free by making them responsible citizens and informed citizens and educated citizens, not educated, dumbed down people who will follow anything that the government tells them to do.
That's right.
And that's why the government has put themselves in a position to use the word democracy and not republic.
That's right.
We
yeah.
still have Richard, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, Richard, go ahead.
Still on there.
Sorry, we went off the rails there a little bit, I guess. But.
Hey, it's your show.
Good one.
I'm just a guest. I do have more.
No, you're more than a guest.
Yeah. Go for it, brother.
Go for the next one.
Okay, so in the California Emergency Services Act, which begins in Government Code 8550 and following statutes, in 2007 there was an addition to that Emergency Services Act. The reason that's called such is because during states of emergencies, this act applies, if that makes sense to you. So Government Code 8571.5, nothing in this article shall authorize the seizure or confiscation of any firearm or ammunition from any individual who is lawfully carrying or possessing, or authorize any order to that effect. However, of course there's always a however, that a peace officer who is acting in his or her official capacity may disarm an individual, and here's the best part, if the officer reasonably believes it is immediately necessary for the protection of the officer or another individual.
Wow.
So now the individual officers get to decide if you have Second Amendment rights or not.
Well,
what guidance are they using to make that decision?
Well,
so,
the way
I have a couple more points. What do you guys think
about
that?
I want to get some clarification of what you just said, because the way I understood what you said is that the police officer is making using his discernment to make a call on whether or not you having this weapon, if you're a danger to yourself or somewhere else.
Society, yeah.
Is that what you're? They didn't say society. They said danger to yourself.
It's not for the officer.
Go ahead and say it again then,
brother. It says if the officer reasonably believes it is immediately necessary for the protection of the officer or another individual, period.
Okay,
that's what
right. Okay, so the thing is that it's the same thing of probable cause. Okay, that's what they're trying to throw in there that I see. They're trying to use probable cause on that. And you have
to have something in the rules that say that an officer can defend himself from a criminal and can defend other people from a criminal, and that's not what's being challenged here. Do they have the ability to take and unarm anybody they want to any time they want to?
It doesn't say that, though.
That's exactly what. But that's my point.
Yeah,
right.
And the way they did it, they crafted it. But see, there's also Title 18 Code Section of the United States Code Section 242, and that's the deprivation of rights under the color of law. So if a police officer right. comes up to you, this statute makes it a crime for any person acting under the color of law, statute, ordinance, regulation, or custom to willingly deprive or cause or be deprived from any person those rights, privileges, or immunities secured or protected by the Constitution of the laws of the United States. It's up to a 10-year prison term for the federal. We used this actually at the Capitol. We actually used this on the highway patrol up there at the Capitol, and they backed off because what the argument is on what you just read is going to be whether or not this police officer has probable cause, and it's not talking about a harm to the general public. It's talking about a harm to specifics because remember, a law has to be specific for it to be enacted. So I don't know. I mean, I'm glad you read it, and but I think the way it's written, the Title 18.
Well, see, that's the problem. If you understand where statues come from, it comes from the Roman Empire under the Emperor Justinian. And what he talked, the reason that they had statues is because.
Listen to the radio.
Well, what you have to have them very specific because every time you make a statue, what happens is there's another loophole. And every time you make uncover that loophole, that creates another loophole. And that's why back in the Roman Empire, they were trying to govern this massive expanse of territory. So they would, you know, have their runner run out with the scroll and. He'd run out to one of the provinces and he'd throw the scroll up on the wall and he'd say, the king and the emperor says, and you know, this is, and then you can't do this and you can't do that. And then the guys around there would go, well, if you can't do that, it doesn't say specifically that we can't do this.
Right.
And so then he'd run back.
Okay.
Exactly. So then he'd run back and the emperor would say, well, I didn't want him to do that either. So then he'd have to run out another scroll. And then, so that's why it's so cumbersome. And that's why the document of the United States Constitution is so dynamic because it says what they can't do, period, and these rights are enumerated, and that's it. Nothing else that we didn't give them anything else. So what I submit to you then is that when Tom Bosanko said that we were breaking the law and he would arrest us for open carrying, I submit to you that he was breaking the law, not following the Constitution, and what he was doing is illegal and immoral, in my opinion, and picking and choosing what he decides to enforce under the law for his own benefit or whatever he feels is the right way to go because the state told him to, whatever, doesn't matter. But he's not following the law anymore.
Oh, he's changing his tune now.
Interestingly enough.
Yeah,
I've got one more major topic and then a closing, and then I'll get somebody else a chance.
All right. Go for it.
So the governor has alerted the National Guard, right?
Yeah.
So I was in the Guard for a few years as part of my 21-year military career. I did some Guard time. I was in during the Rodney King riots. Let me tell you what they do when they deploy the guard with the intention of detention, arrest, etc., law enforcement purposes. Let me tell you what they do. So your local guardsmen, they shelter in place or they get sent away. They bring in guardsmen from out of the area so that the people, the guardsmen arresting you are not part of your community. So, it gets better. So there's what's called the California State Military Reserve, a separate component from the California National Guard. I've been out for a few years, but I know somebody currently today, and I talk to him every week, who's still in the Guard. He's been in there 30 years, and he's towards the top of the echelon now, been in there 30 years. So the California State Military Reserve is getting ready to change its name. We don't know what it's going to be yet. But when those camouflage uniforms show up on the street, you need to pay attention to the, breast tag. It's left or right. One of them will have their person's last name. The other one will have an agency. So if it says U.S. Army, they are California National Guard. If it says California, they are California State Military Reserve. Okay? Only usable by the governor. The federal government cannot touch the state's military reserve force. Now, the name's changing. I don't know what it's going to be. We need to keep an eye on that when those uniforms show up.
Well, if they wear powder blue helmets and it says UN Peacekeeping Forces, is that a problem?
That's a clue. So, in order to apply for the California State Military Reserve, I'm looking at their website right now. You don't have to be a citizen.
Wow.
All you have to do is fill out a form called N-300, and that takes you click on that. That takes you to U.S. citizenship and immigration page.
Wow. Wait. One point you just made.
Yes.
That I want you to emphasize and say it very slowly.
Yes.
You do absolutely not have to be a citizen. You get that, folks?
Correct.
You do not have to be a citizen.
You know, this is wait, of the state or of the country?
Correct.
Of the country. You don't have to be a citizen
of the United States of America.
This is kind of what they did in China. Is what they did in China in order to take over is that if they wanted to take over a province, they would get the militia from another province that didn't really necessarily like that other province, and they would put them into uniform and train them, and then they would take them over to that province in order to administer the law. And these guys would do exactly what they say. They wouldn't have any empathy for the people because they no relationship at all. So would foreign nationals or foreign citizens that have no citizenship in the United States, would they have any relationship or empathy for us as United States citizens that are enforcing the law?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Correct.
No.
So,
and there's plenty
further
of them
correct
there now.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So when you click on the link for that form I told you, it takes you to the United States government page to get that form. And here's what's at the top of that form page, form N300. Use this form if you are a permanent resident and want to declare your intent to become a citizen. So all they're doing is signing a piece of paper that says they intend to be a citizen in order to file this form. Oh, it gets better. This form is not required for naturalization. It gets better. Some states may require it if you wish to conduct certain business within that state.
Wow.
So when this California State Military Reserve shows up, or whatever they rename it to, it's highly likely that the majority of those folks are not going to be citizens, and all they did was sign a form. And now they're armed, and they're given powers by the governor under whatever laws he wants to use to do whatever they want to the citizens. And then I'll let you guys respond to that, and then I'll have a closing comment.
Okay, but I do want to bring up that what you need to do, Richard, is you need to get on the Carl Bott Show on Free Fire Radio. You need to get on that show and explain some of this stuff. You've done it. You know, you have the credentials. You have the background. You've got the experience. And you have the facts in front of you. And I think we're all getting a little tired of not really knowing what's going on and have it be with some sort of diversion of some kind. And I think that would be really good. I know that, and I'm going to say this because they did another radio station did mention our program today, and the host of that program said to listen to it.
That was yesterday.
That was yesterday. You need to go to Freedom in Action and get on with Pete. But I think this is important stuff. Yeah,
here's another thing that I'd like you to do is friend me on Facebook and go to the Facebook account and post all of that information. And I have like the one with the Jefferson State flag on there and the gal riding with the flag and Jerry Brown sitting underneath it. If you post it there, I have another Facebook account that has 5,000 people worldwide on it, and I have 2 more Twitter accounts. So I can, through the social media, use it for our benefit as opposed to have it used against us. So if you could go there and post some of that stuff for me, Richard, it's Mark Kent on Facebook, and post all these links, and I'll make sure that they get out to as many people as we possibly can.
And Mark is.
I'll compose a letter today, and I'll shoot it out to everybody.
That would be great.
Mark has been great on this. I mean, Mark has helped a lot of us out here with all these different accounts he has, and I know he works with some other people. One that's that I know, a blonde. And send stuff to her. She sends stuff out. But Mark has really become of late the center of being able to get the information out we need. So please make sure you friend him, Richard, and make sure you get this information to him, brother.
Will do. And here's my last comment, and I'll give somebody else a chance. You're coming up on the end of the hour. So I put this out on Facebook with my name. I don't use a pseudonym online. I have my name online when I post stuff because I believe that free speech also includes you're going to accept responsibility for what you say. So my name's out there. And this is what I said. If any government official tries to stop me from my freedom of association, my freedom of my Second Amendment rights, if any of them try to deprive me of that based on this state of emergency, well, really at any time, but right now it's really important based on the state of emergency, I will use any force necessary, up to and including the ultimate force, to stop those people from infringing on me or my family. And now I'm public on the radio saying so. Great show, guys. Any other last comments before I hang up?
Yeah, there's just one thing I want to add, because I want to get Mark's take on this after the break, and that is I want to talk about sedition and insurrection. And I want to see if the California government, including our governor, Governor Newsom, is guilty of either one of those things. So I've got some definitions here, and I want to talk to Mark and Linda and Wynn about it and lay it out there. And I want you folks to call in, 605-4567, 605-4567. Call in.
All right, they're going to cut us off. Stay tuned for the second half of Sovereign Minds.
House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
I'm Carlene Niver, and I have some exciting news about my restaurant, Deja Vu, voted best breakfast. We are now serving beer and wine to complement your experience with us. Try one of our many flavors of mimosas, or try one of our new delicious creations, like Morning Sunshine, our version of a screwdriver. For our coffee lovers, we are known for our cozy atmosphere with a mixture of traditional and specialty drinks. I invite you to start your day with us, whether you are craving breakfast or lunch. Located in the historic Lorenz Hotel in the heart of downtown Reading, on California Street, open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Yeah, Richard, if you're still listening, if you could make sure we get those links, because we need to do some investigating and passing information along. So the sooner we can get it, the better.
There you go.
And yeah. We can talk more about this.
Wow. We want to make sure everything's right.
Yep.
Well, you know, it's like I say, it's just one thing or another. I wanted to bring up a little bit on the pandemic, and evidently that they've got a treatment of hydroxychloroquine sulfate tablets that are being donated from Israel to hospitals, like 10 million doses or whatever, for free. It's 6 million tablets is going to be. Now, what I find interesting about that, and evidently this is 100% cure rate on this stuff from the clinical trials is what I'm understanding. And, you know, I know that there was some kind of disagreement with Trump's administration by the one doctor that was up there running.
Fauci?
Yeah, but then I'm finding out that he's being, for some reason, not honest about it. And, yeah, I know. We'll get more into that later, but... you know, maybe next week when I get a little more information on it, because I got a couple of conflicting stories. So, but
because I thought Trump said that all that drug, and that there's another one out there too that was going to be available to everybody in the United States.
There's right. Two forms of it. The one is the hydroxychloroquine,
and the other one's a generic version or something.
Exactly.
Or something.
You know,
yeah.
But it's all chloroquine, and it's a common drug. You got to get a prescription to get it. You can't.
And they're in it's in pharmacies right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I think this pandemic thing is going to go away fairly quickly if that is allowed to be implemented into the system. But, you know, again, this is a cover-up for the world global economy that was going to fail anyway. And this is a, you know, never waste a good crisis thing.
Well, you notice that the banks are changing hours. I don't, you know, when I went to the bank on Friday, Tri-County said that starting this next week, they'll only be open from 10 to 3.
Well, what I'm trying to tell everybody is that if you haven't been preparing, you need to prepare quickly. Because I think we're going to see a bank holiday. They're going to close it down. Anyway, we'll talk
I guess we're going to a break. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Herring. Good news from the White House. Vice President Mike Pence has tested negative for the coronavirus after a member of his staff tested positive. Here's Greg Clugston.
A spokeswoman says the vice president does not have COVID-19. Mr. Pence said he and his wife were tested after one of the staffers in his office was diagnosed with the disease.
I am pleased to report that he's doing well.
The vice president said he agreed to the test, even though there was no immediate concern at the White House.
Neither the president nor I had direct contact with that staff person.
Last weekend, President Trump also tested negative for the coronavirus. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Meanwhile, top-level talks continue between negotiators for Congress and the White House. They're trying to work out a $1 trillion-plus economic package that will help the economy as it is affected by the virus. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says negotiators are very close to sealing a deal. Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer is hopeful as well. The price tag, at least $1.4 trillion. A Chinese company has abandoned its plan to build a massive paper mill in southwestern Arkansas that had already been delayed by trade tensions.
Sun Paper told Governor Asa Hutchinson and economic development officials in a letter that it would not move forward with its plans to build a mill in Arkadelphia. The company cited continued political friction and economic instability and the coronavirus outbreak as reasons for walking away from the project. The announcement comes after Arkadelphia officials announced that the community was marketing the 1,000-acre site planned for the mill to other potential projects. Jeremy House reporting.
Croatia trying to recover from a strong earthquake that struck outside the capital city of Zagreb today, causing panic, the evacuation of hospitals, and widespread damage. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino, and believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Best Buy, the nation's largest consumer electronics chain, is moving to curbside pickup service only.
Earlier this week, Best Buy had started to limit the number of people in its stores to only 10 to 15 at a time. Best Buy has around 1,000 stores in the U.S. Best Buy customers can still order online or on its app and have their products shipped directly to their homes. If a customer is unable to order online, Best Buy will send an employee into the store to retrieve an item. The Minneapolis-based chain is joining thousands of other retailers not viewed as essential and temporarily closing its stores. Like many others, it's also trying to preserve its business. With business, I'm Bernie Bennett.
In NFL free agency news, a person with knowledge of the deal tells the AP that the Denver Broncos have agreed to a 2-year contract with free agent tight end Nick Vannett. The 5th-year pro from Ohio State played for Seattle and Pittsburgh last season. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. A French runner has found a way to run a marathon despite being kept indoors by coronavirus restrictions.
Running back and forth on his Paris balcony until he hit 26.2 miles.
It took Elisha Nokomovitz 6 hours, 48 minutes. He shared images of his effort online to show others it's possible to stay fit as coronavirus containment measures tighten around the globe. French authorities do allow people to go outside for individual sports like running if they sign a special form explaining why.
Rhonda Rockstar reporting. Today is Sunday, March the 22nd. It is the 82nd day of 2020. On this date in history, 1765, the British Parliament passed the Stamp Act to raise money from the American colonies. It was fiercely resisted. On this date in 1934, the first Masters tournament was played. The winner was Horton Smith. On this date in 1941, the Grand Coulee Dam in Washington State opened. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Radio. We're in the second half of the hour, and we're back here in the studio. I got a question in the chat room. We're not going to go back to a gold standard anytime soon, except that we want to become the gold standard ourselves. You want to become your own central bank these days. In other words, you want to be able to store your savings out of the system and in the banking system, or not in the banking system. So go on your own gold standards. That's what I always say.
You betcha.
Anyway.
I'm not sure, but we've got something coming in from somewhere.
You're hearing it out there.
Oh, it's the radio in the background.
It's the radio. I'll shut.
Okay. Sorry. I just could hear it.
You're just hearing things again.
She does this up at the office all the time. She hears voices.
Yeah. I see dead people.
Hey, that could happen.
I see dead people.
I'm just seeing the future.
I see Bruce Willis on YouTube.
I'm looking into the future.
All right, so let's talk about sedition.
Sedition. The a lot of people really don't understand the difference between sedition and insurrection.
And now, secession, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and secession.
Maybe we'll talk about that.
But sedition and insurrection, the important part about that is, secession could fit in if you're looking at the Cal exit thing, but where does the governor, the secretary of state, the attorney general of the state of California, and the legislative body of California, where do they fall in? Do they fall into sedition or insurrection?
Insurrection.
So I'm going to read because you were with me last night. Okay.
Shut up,
Wen. No one likes him.
Shut up.
Okay, so.
I like you, Wen.
Thanks, Linda. You're the only
one
in the room.
Sue, cut their mics, would you please?
Sedition, the incitement or discontent with rebellion against the government. So have they rebelled against the government? Okay.
I think you could make an argument for that.
Okay, well, that's one thing. Okay. Action, especially in writing. The promotion of discontent or rebellion or rebellious disorder. That's sedition. So those are the three things. Let me read the insurrection. Insurrection is the act of rising in revolt. Rebellion, or get this, the resistance against civil authority or established government. Has California done that?
I think you could make an argument for both of those.
Okay, well, let's make an argument for the first one first. What do you think about sedition, my friend?
Well, I think when you stop following the Constitution, you're no longer operating within the contract that was created back in the day when California became a state. And if you say, hey, I'm going to pick and choose and I'm not going to, you know, I'll take away your gun rights, but, you know, you're going to, you know, we're going to issue edicts that circumvent the Constitution because we in California think we're a nation state, which we kind of are a nation state, only we're in a nation state contract with the federal government to have enumerated powers from the people of that nation state that only those powers that were delegated to the authority of the federal constitution are now in the purview of the federal constitution, and unless there's some kind of an amendment to that constitution, cannot be taken back by the state at will.
Only with those enumerated rights, you're right. And so what you're saying is that it has to have rebellion with it. See, that's the one caveat there. It has,
well, I guess you have to define rebellion a little bit then.
Well,
yeah.
Rebellion, okay, and it has to be in action or speech, okay, in writing. And you have to promote rebellion, and it's rebellious disorder. So it has more to do with rebellion. I mean, what you're saying holds water.
Well, but again, then I would say that they fall into that category because when you're saying we're going to not follow federal immigration laws, and we are going to thumb our nose at the federal government who is in charge of the immigration laws and naturalization, and promote that from speeches and sanctuary cities, and we're not going to follow any of those rules, I would say that you're promoting rebellion against the Constitution of the United States as a whole.
I think that's a good point. So let's talk about insurrection. I think you nailed that. Okay, insurrection. Okay, it's the act of rising in revolt. Well, there isn't the act of rising in revolt, rebellion, but here's the one that I think the third point of this, the resistance against civil authority or established government. Again, the same thing you just said.
Right.
And that is that they're violating their own constitution, Article 3, Section 1 of the California Constitution, which says that the United States Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and the state of California is inseparable part of that. So the interesting thing is, I'm looking here at something that happened a while ago. You guys all remember the CalExit thing? Mm. I'm looking at the initiative right here. Well, CalExit was based upon declaring that the Constitution of the United States was not
the law of the land.
The law of the land, and it was specifically wanting to get rid of Article 3, Section 1, specifically crossing it out. Totally. And that was the whole thing. Now, that if that thing would have gone through, that would totally be sedition. And
well, does insurrection require military action of some sort, violence of some sort, some kind of an uprising? I mean, that would be the difference, I think, because I think one
might... Well, sedition is the one that says that. See, sedition has rebellious disorder.
Right. Okay. What did the insurrection say? Because rising
resistance
up.
Against civil authority. Now, resistance and rebellious disorder, I think, is probably rebellious disorder is probably a stronger term in that it's you're rebellious disorder, which means you now have an action to the rebellion. In other words, the disorder part's the action to it. Whereas in the resistance against civil authority or established government, that's just resistance. That's Becerra and that's Padilla and that's Governor Newsom saying, no, we don't recognize Article 3, Section 1, Article 1, Section 8,
Clause 3
that states that that immigration, that naturalization, we gave that as one of the things for the United States government to do. That was one of the things we gave them. And that's where I think the resistance against civil authority or established government, that fits into insurrection totally.
I'm just wondering how does Antifa fit into that? Let's say we go down to Berkeley and they're breaking all the windows out. And
Antifa?
Antifa, yeah. Whatever you want to call them. The the black hooded guys.
Cowards.
Cowards, yeah, who break things for no other reason than to cause disturbances and to beat up anybody who disagrees with them and call them a fascist, even though that's kind of the definition of a fascist.
That's what they are, yeah.
Exactly. So that would be violent insurrection. And we know that George Soros and some of his cohorts have paid for some of those things to happen and have openly promoted those guys. And do we know that there's connections and can we connect the dots between any officials in the state of California? I suggest that there might be some connections. And so I'm not sure where we move from sedition into insurrection or from insurrection into sedition.
Well, I would submit to you that both of them are violated.
Both. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I would submit to you both of them are. And I think that you stated perfectly about sedition being violated. You stated that perfectly. And insurrection, the third point of insurrection is totally a viable argument.
Let's take it one step further and talk about the fact that we've been investing our pensions into Chinese stocks that are used companies to spy on us.
No.
I mean, that's not sedition or insurrection.
No.
Do we got to go to our break, Sue? Is that what?
I guess.
Okay.
You have to wave at us, Sue.
She has been.
Here we go. We're She's going to the break now. She's taking us out.
She's flopping like a fish in a fishbowl for us.
Glory's rolling by, blue moon sinking from the weight of the load in the building straight to sky. Cold wind ripping down the alley at dawn, in the morning paper fly. Dead man lying by the side of the road with the daylight in his eyes. Don't let it bring you down. It's only castles burning.
I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
Hey guys, I'm Bob Bedrock. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
The Redding Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to reddingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee. Snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to reddingcivic.com to learn more.
Start kind of jigging
you
out
could,
like
Mick. But, Mick. Please.
It looked probably looked more like, what's his name?
Having a seizure or something?
Yeah. Who's the guy that always sings, gosh, I can't think of his name. He always warps out. It's Woodstock.
Joe Cocker.
Thank you, Joe Cocker.
Hey, before we leave what we were talking about before, we do have a lot of really brilliant people in the Northern Territory of, well, in Jefferson Territory.
Thank you very much.
We do. We have a lot of brilliant people. And the information.
People.
Oh, people.
Did you hear people?
Oh. Sovereign citizens.
Persons.
Sovereign citizens. And I challenge everybody, just, you know, do your homework. Find out about the insurrection. Find out about sedition. Find the things that have been going on. And I know there are a lot of record keepers out there and people that are in the know. They have understanding. They know what's going on. Find the information and share it. Share it with us. If there's a way we can use it to do what we need to do, absolutely share it with us. It shouldn't be the
That's
thing.
What this is all about is
right.
to share
everybody
it,
needs,
passing along.
Everybody needs to pull together. This
that's
is
right.
this is not something of it's your problem or my problem or
right.
his problems. This
it's
is every,
all of that.
This is everybody's problem. And educating and doing that. And, of course, we kid a little bit because if you're in here all the time, week after week after week, you got to kid about something. Otherwise,
right.
it's boring, you know. But so we try to make the show entertaining and fun, but there is a serious underlying message here that you need to pay attention to and do something to help with the program. I don't care whether it's going down to Cottonwood or State of Jefferson or whatever you happen to be picking, you know, educating your children.
Yep.
But you need to get involved. And I've had people say, well, I'm not political. Well,
you don't have to be political.
No, yeah,
you
exactly.
Know, but here's the thing, and I think it was Plato that said that if you don't want to be involved in politics, you'll be ruled over by idiots that you don't like.
Yep.
I mean, I'm paraphrasing.
There's a
obviously.
Lot of that going on.
Remember what Madison said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Control of the government is probably the most important issue we have. And if the government is handling the schools, they're not going to let people do what? Control them.
Well,
I think we have
a caller. We got Dick
like
on the phone.
Mao said, gun control. Yeah, we want to control them with at the
right.
point of a gun.
Right.
So, yeah.
Good morning, Dick.
Hey, Dick.
Hey, good morning. I'm not adding to this conversation. Good morning, Linda, Terry, Mark, and
Wynn.
Hey, Mark, I just emailed a photograph to you. I don't know if you have your phone with you. But anyway,
I do.
I have a dilemma here with this virus stuff. You know, I'm the treasurer of the Shasta County Veteran Support Group. We support the Knighton Road Veterans Home out on Knighton Road. And we have a fundraiser going. The place is run by the state, and they have rules what they'll spend money on. So this support group was formed to provide a lot of stuff the state won't provide. And if I understand, the first person to ever donate cash donation was Merle Haggard. And anyway,
and
we're having a
trial.
Fundraiser. We're raffling off a raffle. We're having a, not a raffle, it's a fundraiser. And we have $10 tickets for a gun safe, a 40 gun gun safe that was purchased by Tractor Supply. And with this virus thing, it's not easy to sell tickets. Since the gun show that we had at the Holiday Inn, I've sold 5 tickets and given away 1. So I'm in a dilemma here. How we can sell tickets? And I think if people call me up, I can meet them at my front gate with my plastic gloves and hand sanitizer, and I can hand you tickets and you can hand me your money and we can get it done. Yeah, but I don't know any other way. That we're not having any groups where we can sell tickets, and different groups get together. I can sell tickets, but right now we're at a standstill. So anyway, if anybody wants, it's a 40 gun gun safe.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think you don't need a gun safe, well, I think everybody needs one because how else are you going to protect their toilet paper?
Well, I was just going to say maybe what you should do is put that out there, and you could sell the toilet paper, and they can buy the ticket when they're trying to sell. You're going to sell
yeah,
them the
maybe
toilet.
I'll give away. I have some toilet paper. I'll give away a roll of toilet paper with every gun set, with every ticket.
There you go.
Anyway, my phone number to arrange to make arrangements to get this ticket sold. My home number is 246-9131. That's 246-9131. And we can make arrangements, or you can mail a check to me. Call me up. I'll give you my email address and mail a check, and I'll I'll fill it out and take a picture of it and email it back to you if that works for you.
Well, there's I'll give everybody your email address right now if you want me to.
Okay, it's
Dick and
three words run together.
Dick and Fran at charter.net.
Yep. That's it.
Yeah, very
anyway,
good.
I sent you a photo a while ago.
I'm looking right at Fran right now.
Yeah, I just made that today.
She should be taking the sheets and throwing them up in the air, you know.
Okay. Anyway, we have a lot of gun safe tickets left, and we need to get some cash to support this Nine Row Veterans Home, which is on lockdown right now, by the way.
Yes, they are.
Anyway,
yeah. All right. Thanks.
I got 21 tickets in my possession, and Linda has lots more.
I appreciate you calling in and going over that.
Night and Road Veterans Home, and get these gun safe tickets sold. Anyway, that's it.
All right. Thank you, Dick, for calling in. I appreciate it a lot. And yes, we do need to sell the tickets.
Yes, we do.
I got to bring this up. I was just looking on the Gateway Pundit a story. Toilet paper wars. Florida man and woman buy entire supply of toilet paper.
Unbelievable.
It's going to be like the guy out on the street. He's got his little backpack and his little hoodie over and dark glasses, and people pull up and say, hey, what do you want, baby? I got the stuff.
Unbelievable.
Black market paper.
He's going to be dead surrounded by his toilet paper.
You know, nobody brought up that much about martial law. And I know that there was some rumors going on that the National Guard was down at the Anderson Fairgrounds.
That was a rumor.
It was a rumor because we had a friend go down. We have some.
I go by it all the time. I went by it this morning. Nothing going on there, folks.
And but the thing is that, you know, I want to throw this out to everybody. Phone number here is 605-4567, 530-605-4567. But I want to throw this out to you guys here. You know, we're not supposed to have more than 10 people on a spot. to a degree, I can understand that if there's some things.
That was suggested. Suggested.
Yeah, right. But the thing is that we have, there could be a thought process that, because there might be some things happening, maybe some indictments, maybe some arrests, maybe some things happening with the deep state getting rid of these turds. With that kind of thing going on, it could very well be that maybe you don't want a lot of crowds around. Or it also could be that they don't want to have mass meetings, because think about some of the rhetoric we've heard today. Richard saying, hey, if they're going to come after me, you know, or do anything to violate me, I'm going to defend myself. Well, myself is a onesie, okay? Now, what if you have a 100-zee? Okay, so we were talking about this last night, and there was one gentleman who mentioned the fact, well, you know, basically he has a long driveway. Well, you know, I pointed out to him that all by himself with one driveway, he could get whacked at 1,500 yards pretty easily. So the deal is, here's the deal, folks. Do we not have meetings and get together in a week or so? Do we kind of wait to see what goes on with this virus? And then do we get together in large groups and we talk about community watch? We talk about protection. We talk about getting folks out, our folks out on the street, like they do in Cottonwood, which is an amazing, amazing group of people. They are an amazing group of people. What a community.
Yep.
What an example for everybody
fearless,
else.
Fearless. Absolutely fearless.
Absolutely fearless. And I know that we've had a very good neighborhood watch group. But, you know, what we have to have is not neighborhood watch, but we've got to watch the community. And, I mean, with some sort of teeth to it, if you get my meaning. We have to have something to where, you know, you're not going to just, you know, shoot a rubber band at them. You want to be in a position to where, you know, some way, shape, or form, no matter how that looks, that should be done. But one thing that should be done, and I think that law enforcement should do this, and that is teach classes on citizens' arrest. Why aren't they doing that? You know, Mark made a point earlier in the program, Mark Baer did, in our program, made the point that, you know, they're not even, and I saw this on that California is not even, they're not going to even send guys out if you get burglarized or somebody breaks into your car or something like that. They're not even going to bother. In fact, they're thinking about letting these poor people out of jail.
They're letting some of them out.
And all they did was break into something and steal your stuff and all that. And so they're going to let them out because, what if they get the coronavirus in jail?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you kidding me? Let's look at the real deal on this. The real deal on this is the government's trying to control you. So I've kind of got mixed thoughts on whether we should have maybe some big meetings. I mean, big meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Really and truly, you know.
We can hand out hydroxychloroquine.
Well, you know, that's frankly, I'd like you to, in a minute here, I'd like you to talk about that a little bit, because that's an absolutely good point. I mean, Mark was going and checking.
Well, I would be careful in what I said about handing that out.
I was figuratively speaking.
I know. Just let people know out there. I'm just saying.
I mean, I'm looking at an article right here. Donald Trump Jr. unloads on latest liberal media BS on hopeful and proven hydroxychloroquine treatment for the coronavirus. The media and the liberals don't want a cure here. They want this pandemic.
You're damn right.
You know, they want this not to be solved. And then they want that to take the blame, because the real blame is we got an out of control banking system that is printing money out of thin air to bail everything out and, you know, and putting us into debt. Well, you know, the answer to solving that problem is not printing more money and creating more debt for us to be in. And that's what is going on right now. And so they don't want to take the blame for the real problem. So let's blame it on this coronavirus instead. And, you know, why else would they, not want to try to solve this problem? I mean, when you think about what they've done, they've slammed Trump on every angle on this thing. Yeah. You know, why are you racist calling it a Chinese virus? Because it's from China? I mean, common sense has been thrown completely out the window across the board. And will they try to use this to turn this into a martial law situation? To turn this? Because I think that might be coming anyway based on what's happening in the world banking system. Look worldwide. The banking system's falling apart across the board. And it's not because of this virus. It was going to happen anyway. So let's not blame the bankers. Let's not call out the real culprits. Let's blame it on some Chinese virus that comes out of nowhere. And, the timing is a little suspect to begin with. And even though there's known cures for it, we'll just ignore those or pretend.
Well, I think, in my own opinion, I think they're testing us to see how far or how much we will tolerate.
I agree.
That's right.
How far can we be pushed?
How far will the people go being pushed?
Well, I guess we got to go to a break.
And I guess we're going to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567.
You're listening to 96.5 FM online and AM 1460.
But when the world is dizzy and the way it's hard to see, when tomorrow comes, will you remember?
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Hi, I'm Dan Flynn. I'm the presiding judge at the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is now accepting applications from those people who wish to serve on the grand jury. To apply and to get additional information, please go to ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
That's right. Now is your chance to apply. The Shasta County Grand Jury investigates to help ensure transparency and accountability among local governments, officials, and agencies. Visit our website for more information.
Please apply now.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast.
Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Sovereign Mind Radio. Okay, who knows who that was and what was that album?
Not me.
I can't think of it.
That's an oldie but a goodie. I remember.
I remember it.
Partying to this one a lot back when I was a kid. This was 10 years after.
I was 10 years say after. 10 years after.
The album was Cricklewood Green.
I wouldn't have got that. I was thinking it was 10 years after. But
I love that song. It's a great song.
Jeff Beck.
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of them on there. I mean, was Jeff Beck on there?
Yeah, yeah. Should have been.
Maybe.
That's before a lot of people my thought time. He was I'm the best guitarist.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Got a nice drummer out there. Win. There's a drummer on the phone.
We got Jimmy on drummer. The phone. Jimmy knew exactly who that was. We should have tested
him. Ask Jimmy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Alvin Lee, baby. He's one of my faves. But I'd love to talk rock and roll, but we got more pressing matters ahead of us here.
Yes, sir. Shoot away.
One thing is that call from Rich was excellent. That guy really, really does his homework.
Yeah, he's the man.
I just want to give him a kudos on that. And some of the things he was saying, like, if you think running out of toilet paper is going to be a life-altering experience, wait till, if God forbid, this faction of California military, you know, comes in on the streets, because they're not going to be very welcomed up here. I can tell you that in the state of Jefferson.
Well, I think we need to maybe put a plan together of some sort. And we were kind of talking about that over the break, is that, you know, at least a communication of some sort to as many people. Maybe we can come up with some sort of plan between here and next week of some sort on Facebook or whoever's interested of posting maybe we can come up with some meeting spots or something. I don't know. I mean, some kind of a plan. I mean, with all these intelligent, brilliant people out there, we ought to be able to come up with something that actually might help us put together a way to make some better decisions on going forward with what's happening.
I read you, yeah. But, that was an excellent call, Rich. And the other thing I'd like to bring up, I'm going to let you guys look into this a little more. Kelly, she's my research guru. She just seen an article in the Sacramento Bee that the CalPERS have lost $69 billion during this coronavirus deal. Now, you guys might want to check it out yourselves. I tried to send you the link on the chat room. I don't think it went through, though.
No,
it didn't go through the chat room yet.
You got Facebook, Jimmy?
No, I got off Facebook because of all the liberal morons
out there. How about Twitter?
No, unfortunately, we were going to start a State of Jefferson Twitter, but some Kelly was telling me something about the Windows. We'd have to rebuy Norton or something. Well, I'm an idiot when it comes to that.
Do this then. Just put it in a link and send it to my email, kentmark@msn.com.
Okay. Kent? Well, yeah, I mean, if you punch up Sacramento beat CalPERS, it might come right up.
I'm going to try it right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, they're doing it right now. Yeah.
All right, folks, well, I'm going to let you guys go. Excellent show, and I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jimmy.
You know, I think that while they're looking that up, one of the things that was brought up is just, you know, Linda brought up a really good point when she said that, you know, maybe they're just trying to see and win. They both brought up this point about how much we'll tolerate. This could be a precursor to see just how much we tolerate. It's sort of like, okay, we're going to ban these guys indefinitely for moving about. Well, you know, we already have some businesses that are saying, hey, you know, screw it, I'm staying open. The real deal is that we're, you know, we're looking at, I think this is a test. This is a test, to see, how much that we'll tolerate and, see how long they can keep us pinned down.
The shelter thing, and you know,
what is that, socialism?
Okay, seriously, you're gonna okay.
Okay, I'm trying to pull up that article, but on mine it says I have to be a subscriber to get that information.
Yeah, I'm
on
not
that
sure.
Article.
Maybe Jimmy can send that to us.
Some reason it says you have to, you know, be subscribed.
My email is really simple: Kent Mark, KentMark @ MSN.com. That's Microsoft Network.
MSN.com.
I got to share something with everybody. Sue wrote on the. We have a little board. This board gets shown to us, and it tells us that somebody's on the phone. Well, she put it up there, and it said socialism because that's what we were talking about.
I couldn't read it.
And I was sitting there thinking, hey, if we have somebody called in and they can't use their real name, they're using the name socialism, I don't want to talk to them. So, you know.
Oh, come on. Bring them on. Let's have a good conversation with them.
We have people that we've had guys that called in that said that the new dumpster divers were what was it, Mark? The dumpster divers were the new leaders of America or something? I mean, you know, frankly, you know, we just aren't going to go there with anybody. You know, we're just not doing that.
Oh, yeah, I remember what you're talking about now. Yeah, too. Yeah, it's like, are you kidding me?
It's like, really?
Well, that was Dave from San Francisco. That's who. And he was talking about how those guys are the guys that are going to be the so-called leaders in America as opposed to, you know, that are backing Bernie Sanders as opposed to, the guys that actually work for a living and the guys that have businesses and the guys that, you know, support the economy through the businesses.
Did somebody call in and also say something about that China was actually a capitalist nation?
I don't know. Well,
that might have been in
Stalin. Stalin was a capitalist.
Oh, well, same person, I believe.
Was it?
What, I believe so.
What they did in China was it's quasi capitalism at the point of a gun. In other words, they took a section of the population and put them out there because they were sinking financially. They had to have some commerce going, it's a pick and choose. It's not a cream rises to the top thing. It's a thing of, you know, do what you can keep a bunch of your labor here and we won't take everything from you if you're a producer, but only at our beck and call, at our whim. In other words,
how we say to do it.
Exactly. Right. Well, if we decide we don't like you, we can still take everything you own.
So the government
doing that now.
The government of California isn't using a gun. They're going to say that we're going to have somebody sneeze on you or something. Or,
okay, I got it from Jimmy already.
Okay.
Wow. CalPERS loses $69 billion in biggest
market. Oh, wow. Who wrote that?
This is from Sacramento Bee. And what was I saying just a little earlier?
Just
before
it.
We got on the air,
what's
I think,
the date of that, Mark?
That is March 22nd. That is that is today.
Today. Okay, so today, all you folks out there.
I'm going to post this on my
retired.
Facebook. And Well, CalPERS. that's what I was saying.
Post it
and
see if we can get it.
We haven't even begun to look at what the market loss damage is going to do.
And
last time I checked the futures, we were down 900 points on the futures today. So I'm predicting roughly that this is going to be under 10,000. It could go as low as 4,000 or 5,000, maybe even lower.
What kind of time frame do you think that we have left?
2 months, maybe a month.
Maybe.
Yeah, because it's. It takes a little while. I mean, if you look at and all we have to guide us is a little bit of history, but. If you look at the 2008 crash, it took about 6-8 months. If you look at the 29 crash, it took a little over a year for it to fully crash out.
So who controls society when it crashes? Who controls it? Who has the power?
You mean the six families that run all the banks?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm asking a question. I'm just asking.
Well,
it's just like, you know,
it's
I'm
a wealth transfer is what it is. It's not what it is. Is they're just, when somebody loses in the market, somebody gains.
Right. But so we lose and they gain.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Not necessarily. Yeah.
So you have to understand both sides of the contract. You know, you got guys that are betting
on. Like Buffett?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good example. You know, we were just talking about the hydroxychlorine that Teva from Israel is going to donate, you know, in 6 million tablets or doses or whatever to the American people so that, to stem this tide of this pandemic. Well, it's just interesting. A week ago, Warren Buffett said he's putting a lot of money in the Teva stock.
How that
work? Premonition. It was premonition.
But see, there's two. Insider trading is legal. It is totally legal if you see. There's two ways to insider trade. One is private, and one is public.
Yeah.
If you are insider trading in a public company, then that could be illegal.
Well, what if you have a public-private partnership?
But if you have a private company, it's not. Then insider trading is great because now you have infinite returns on your money, and so that's not illegal. Mm-hmm. Or if you're in Congress, they made that not illegal, too.
That's right, because they're the rulemakers.
Exactly. So who benefits? Who's going to benefit from this whole thing is going to be the big bankers, Wall Street and the central banks and the guys who were in on it.
Now, I think that adds a lot of clarity for folks out there. What Mark just said adds so much clarity to the fact that this is a wealth transfer. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot different than, you know.
Everybody loses. Not everybody loses.
Yep. And I think that's a good point. And I think that a lot of times we tend to, because a lot of us that get engaged in this stuff all the time, we tend to overlook the simplicity of some of the things that are going on in some way to explain it to where people, oh, yeah, I get that now, you know.
Well,
and I think that was a good point, Mark.
Now, let's go back to this pension thing. I've been doing some homework on this pension thing, and I just got through reading a book. It's called Who Stole My Pension? It's by Robert Kiyosaki and Ed Seidel.
And Kiyosaki knows a little bit about money.
Well, Kiyosaki knows a lot about money.
You bet.
And
you bet.
The other guy is an expert, a forensic auditor from the SEC on pensions. And so that's what he does. That's what he does.
I was going to say, he engages with people that are good in particular areas.
Right, that's right.
He's very good at doing that.
The team concept.
Will he come to Shasta County?
I doubt it. I've actually met him and talked to him, but that was a long time ago, and then I doubt if you could get him anywhere now. He's pretty in demand. But going back to the point, all right. So these pensions, the Seidel guy says he uses the phrase of gross malpractice practice regularly. I believe is so what he's saying is that these things are being looted constantly by Wall Street, side deals, corruption. And this whole thing is a big cash cow for the Wall Street, for the bankers, for anybody who's in on the deal. The guys at the board and the fiduciary capacities are ripping these things off. And they tried to audit CalPERS, and they were going to do a crowdsource funding, and they couldn't get enough people involved, imagine that, to fund it, to actually do the forensic audit that needed to be done on CalPERS.
Wow.
Wow. Oh,
microcosm
again,
Shasta
huh?
County. Yeah, microcosm Shasta County.
So
remember
all
the there's nothing. There's no. Remember 8 years, 10 years ago.
Yeah,
there's no problem in CalPERS. Our guys say
we just had somebody say that during Measure A. There was a guy that came on that is a retired peace officer, and he's retired. And I think he does real estate or something now. He's a local guy. He came on and he said, that CalPERS thing, that pensions, that's all under control right now. He said that, 4 weeks ago?
Let me clarify what's going on with the audits. There's two kinds of audits. We've got an audit where a guy just says, hey, that looks good to me. And then we got an audit where you actually go in and examine things. These guys that are auditing things are not auditing. They're just rubber stamping them, and they're not auditing. And there's no criminal charges that can be pressed on any of these officials.
They can't be prosecuted.
For pilfering the funds.
Wow.
There's no law. There's no law.
Wow.
Now, this is where it gets good. So these guys have no reason to stop pilfering the funds that are guys that are in on the deal.
Imagine that.
And what I'm saying is the little guys are the guys that are getting hurt. The little guys are the guys that are getting ripped off. They worked their whole life for these pensions. Yep. My mom was one of them.
Yep, that's right.
They worked their whole life for these pensions, and they're going to end up losing everything because of the graft, because of the corruption, the malfeasance, the side deals with Wall Street, the non-corruption and non-prosecution clauses. This is every person in a CalPERS pension right now that worked their butt off to get it should be rising up and talking to these guys and wanting to see an examination. We just took a bloodbath in the market, and it's going to get worse. And guess what happens to these pensions at the end of the day? These guys don't care if they get bankruptcy files on file bankruptcy in these local city and state pension funds in these municipalities, because nothing happens to them.
No consequences.
No consequences at all. They could care less if the city goes bankrupt. And I guess we have a caller.
Yeah, but we do.
The more I talk about this, the madder I get, because this is complete frickin' criminality, and somebody should be hung for
it. Yeah, but there's nothing that's going to be done because they won't be prosecuted.
Their head should be out on petards in front of the frickin' city hall.
Yeah, we won't go to Dar. Good morning, Dar.
I know.
Good morning, Dar.
Dar.
Hey, Dar.
You're on the air, Dar.
So far.
Dar.
Are you there?
You with us?
Hello. We're gonna move on, Dar. I guess call back. I guess.
Yeah, call back or what? We're going to break.
Yep.
So we have about 10 minutes left. So we'll be back after this.
We'll be back.
KCNR 96.5 FM online and AM 1460. You're listening to Sovereign Minds.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Addison's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with 5 types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AddisonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
She's pointing to us.
We're going to let it all hang out.
Okay, I guess we're back on the air a little J.J. Cahill after midnight. Yeah, maybe. I don't know what we're going to do after midnight. Going to let it all hang out, I guess.
I don't know.
Wait for last call.
Probably right. I'll let Dar get on the phone.
Yeah, let's get Dar on the phone.
Last call for alcohol, huh, Lynn? We know where Wynn's thinking.
All right, Dar, you're on the air. Sorry about that.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a couple questions. I had a friend from Sacramento call me. She was concerned about her savings in the bank, and she was going to take her savings out of the banks. I thought we were insured up to a certain amount on our savings.
No,
the bank's insured.
No, the
insured.
Bank is insured. You are not.
And it's up to, let's say it's $100,000, okay, of insurance on the bank. But right now, in order to cover the funds that are in these banks, I think the last figure I was shown was they have like 0.08% of the money to cover the funds
right.
in these banks that are outstanding. This banking problem is why they're going to run out of money, and that's why they're going to have a bank holiday.
I was going to say, if she's got it in savings or whatever she's got it in, and I don't know the amount, but that doesn't mean that she can get it all at once pull it out.
It doesn't matter. What historically they do, they shut it. They don't give any advance warning. They shut the bank, and you can't get to it. You can pull it out if they got it. I mean, it's your
That's what I'm saying, though. I know somebody that went to draw out money, and it took a week to get it.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Over a course of trips.
Over a course, yeah.
Multiple trips to get the money.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can only get so much at a time.
Multiple branches.
That's because they're solvent, right?
Yeah.
Right.
All right, so what's your next question, Dar?
Okay, all right. Where does the World Bank fit into something like this?
Well, so if we go into banking system, what you got central banks, and the central banks have a centralized bank, which is called the BIS. It's the Bureau of International Settlements, Basel, Switzerland, that runs all the central banks. It's owned by a few guys called the Bilderberg Society, blah, 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 that runs all the central banks. They're all a part of this little group. And each central bank in each country prints its own money without any restrictions by anything. It used to be a gold standard. You couldn't print more money than the gold standard. Now you can print money as much as you want.
All you want.
And cause a debt that everybody's indebted to, and what it basically does is enslaves everybody in that particular jurisdiction of that particular bank, so everybody owes this interest to a bank that prints the money out of thin air and charges us for it, and that's the problem.
So in other words, we really don't have anything.
You have what you... okay, here's a quote from Thomas Jefferson. And this quote, I read it the other day, and I hadn't read it for a long time, and I think it hits it so far, so hard, and so home, it's ridiculous. Paper is poverty. It is but the ghost of real money.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
I had a friend tell me that our money's not worth anything. It's just paper.
Ray Dalio, one of the richest billionaires in the world, about a week or two ago said cash is trash.
Yeah. So what do you do? Do you leave your money in there, or you take it out?
Well, I would get it out. And why do you think all of the big boys keep talking about precious metals? Why do you think precious metals are always the ones that always the asset that everybody goes to when this whole thing starts to collapse? Because it's the only thing that holds its value over a long period of time and doesn't have to sit in the bank and be there where you can't get it. You can hide it under the couch. You can put it in a private safe. That's why they go there. There's only several things that hold its value over time. If you look at historically across the board, land, art, precious metals. That's it.
So that's not really reassuring then.
Now, well, I'm not saying it's reassuring, but why do you think that all of the central banks are loading up on gold and silver?
I don't know a lot about this, but I just started thinking about that after my friend asked me that. You know, I started thinking about it, you know.
What they do is through their system, because what they did back when the Glass-Steagall Act, what the Glass-Steagall Act was about, was it separated banking from investment bankers. And when they got rid of the Glass-Steagall Act, it put investment banking in with regular banking. So now what they can do is bet all of your savings in what they call the worldwide casino market of derivatives. And if they lose in those derivative markets, what happens is it's not your money. Go to the Dodd-Frank Act. It's not your money. If that bank starts to go down, they can issue you stock in a failed bank that's worthless while they've just taken all your money, froze it, and did whatever they want with it to pay their bills.
And here's the deal,
totally
too.
Legal.
And here's the deal, too, Dar. You know, we never hear from the people in the banking industry. We never hear from that. Mark's been an expert on this stuff. He's gone through it. And he's giving us information that's factual. He's giving us information that he does his research on. You know, we never have a banker call in or anybody who has to do with banking or anything like that. And, you know, if there's anybody out there, you know, it'd be nice if you would call in next week, because we're almost out of time this week. But if you call in next week, because we need to be talking about these things. But more importantly, we need to be banding together. As Mark said, we have to have a plan. We've got to have some kind of plan to where we're banding together. We have a state government that is out of control. We arguably have put forth arguments for sedition and for insurrection by the government of California. On top of that, when you look at the whole thing here, you've got to understand that the, and I'll just leave it with this, the state of California has violated United States Code Title 8, Code Section 1324, by harboring and shielding illegal aliens.
Yes.
Now, I had somebody, we did an interview week before last, and this guy was using the term, this interviewer was using the term, well, they're undocumented immigrants. No, they're illegal aliens, yeah. Period.
They're illegal. They are illegal.
That's right.
Illegal.
Illegal.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
Well, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling in,
Dar.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, it says in the chat room, everybody's sold out of silver. Imagine that.
Oh, come on.
I know. Just saying.
Nobody jumped on it, huh? Ruh-roh.
Okay, so with that said, I've got to get to my closing here. Remember, you are born original. Don't die a copy. Amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. And I guess we'll see you next week.
And time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.